Telos is a Greek word. Romans chapter 10. In one of the most famous theological dictums, the apostle makes the statement in chapter 10, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Powerful, powerful statement. And one that is so important theologically speaking, I would say it was one of the three major statements that the Apostle Paul makes in all of his writings, one of the three most important. This one's very important, especially as it relates to our fairly recent discussion of New Covenant theology. But long before New Covenant theology was even an issue, this is an important theological dictum. And so we want to focus our attention this morning on that message. Before I do, want to make a report, though, of my conversation with... did I already tell this with Pastor Shane? To some of you, I have. But I spoke with Pastor Shane Walker, a young man about age 34, who is pastor of Andover Baptist Church in Andover, Maryland. And Trent and Amy stumbled into their congregation one day and have now are seeking membership there, and have already been involved in working with the little church. It's a small church. And so the pastor had a phone call into me, and I called him up to talk to him. My assumption was that they were going to be talking about Trent and Amy and talking about transferring a letter. Does everybody know about transferring letters? Maybe not. I'll explain it later. Long story short, though, I talked with this man for about 30, 35 minutes on the phone. And it was like echoes of me. Is that fair to say? I could not believe the unity that we had in the faith of Jesus Christ. I could not. And I said to myself, this is God at work. His providence at work in Amy and Trent's life to take them to a place where I would dare say there's only two or three of those on the East Coast. And this man, and this young man had spent time, 2 years, being tutored by, guess who? Mark Dever at Capitol Hill Baptist Church. Is it amazing or what? I'll have to tell you more about the story. It's an amazing story. But it was so, we were so compatible in the faith. He was not calling to transfer a letter. They do not take letters, nor do we. But they interview all people that come to their congregation for membership, as we do. And so I was extremely pleased that that Trent and Amy had found a church home that would be entirely compatible with everything that we taught them. And I dare say that they will be challenged with this young man. He is a very bright and intelligent person and will push them, I believe, just as I push you. So anyway, I wanted to report that. And we rejoiced together, he and I did, of God's providence and God's sovereignty. And we just had this marvelous time together. It's for sure that at this time that I will be planning a trip to the East Coast sometime. Now that we have not only Trent and Amy out there, but a few other people that we know, plus a church that we can be supportive of. And by the way, we will also include them on their prayer on our prayer list on Wednesdays. You can bet we will. There's some problem in that church. There were, but I think God has sent this man to correct that, and Trent and Amy. And so I'll give you a clue on that. Gothardites. That's all I need to say. But they have resigned, apparently, and gone their way, which is probably is what I told Pastor Walker was that that was not a problem. That was probably a blessing from God. Okay. And I mean that. I mean that honestly. But I'm excited for Trent and Amy. I really am excited and excited for that young church. But we have a need to study this. Christ, the end of the law. And don't let anybody tell you that that the word end, telos, in the Greek, is not properly translated end. Yes, it is. And I believe that a proper understanding of this passage of Scripture is absolutely essential for any new covenant believer, any New Testament believer. You've got to have an understanding of this passage of Scripture. But let's read it again. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God, for Israel, is that they might be saved, may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Wow. Now the Apostle Paul is answering the question that has been hanging over the Scriptures all the way through chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. About God having rejected Israel, the very chosen people that he had. Has he rejected them? In a sense, he has. But they weren't really truly Israel. And that's his whole point. That what is called Israel is not always Israel. And we explain that over those chapters and so forth. And here he says the reason why God has rejected Israel, national Israel, ethnic Israel, is because they tried to seek righteousness of their own. And in so doing, they rejected and did not submit to the righteousness of God. I want you to get the word. Submit. Repeat after me. Submit. Okay, thank you. Submit. I'm like one of those Pentecostal preachers with a little audience participation. Repeat after me. Submit. No, you don't have to do that again. Submit. The message is this. You must submit to the righteousness of God. It isn't something that is just a decision of yours. It is a total submission to the righteousness which comes by faith in Christ Jesus. You must, if you will be saved, submit to that truth. Submit. And not just agree with it, but submit to it. We'll probably have more to say about that. But it needs submission. We must submit ourselves to the righteousness which is through faith in Jesus Christ. I have discussions sometimes on my email discussion list with men who understand intellectually about the righteousness of Christ, but who do not believe it. Oh, they can articulate it. They know all of the theological arguments, but they have not submitted to the righteousness which comes by faith in Christ. And so here I have legit men who are legitimately talking and even understand at a certain intellectual level about how righteousness is claimed to be through faith, but they do not submit to it, and thus I conclude they are not saved. And yes, they're pastors and scholars in Christians and in Christian institutions. But they don't have the righteousness of Christ. Because it's only one way that you can be righteous before God. And we read in the Old Testament that you must have righteousness. The Lord our righteousness shall be his name. The Lord our righteousness. Clay read that. Righteousness is what the whole issue is about. We have said it time and time again in this church, and trying to keep it simple, like we said downstairs, that the gospel is simple. Here's the simple gospel, that to go to heaven, that to be in the presence of God for eternity, one must be perfectly righteous. There it is. Now, the reality is that human righteousness is not righteous at all. Sinners. We are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There I am. Roman road right there. Boom. All have sinned. But what that says is there's not a single righteous person in the world. There's none righteous. No, not one. Ha! So there you go. Nobody's qualified to be in heaven. No one can go to heaven on their own righteousness. Can't. And the only righteousness that there is the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ and is imputed to the believer, the one who has his faith in Jesus Christ. Now that person has imputed righteousness, which is perfect and pure and holy because it belongs to Jesus Christ and it's been transferred and imputed to me. Hallelujah. That's what salvation is all about. That's the conclusion of the whole matter, like in the book of Solomon that we were reading. What is the conclusion to the whole matter? Fear God and keep His commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. Here, the whole issue is about the righteousness of God. And the only one that is acceptable to God is that which Jesus Christ has. The question that every person must answer is, how do you get that righteousness? No one can go to heaven except with the righteousness that belongs to Jesus Christ. How do you get it? By faith. Faith. And God says, when a person has faith, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to his account, Romans chapters 4 and 5. There it is. We have said it again and again and again, and we will continue to repeat the simple truth. That you're not going to go to heaven because you're righteous. You're going to go to heaven because you're being treated as though you were righteous, because you have the imputed righteousness of Christ has been imputed to your account. And so when God looks upon you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody I think that's in this room ought to know that by now. You know that truth. That no one is righteous in and of themselves. On the other hand, I will not apologize for the righteousness which I do have. I have a righteousness that not only makes me righteous, but is perfect righteousness because it belongs to Christ. I have perfect righteousness. There is no one that can bring a charge against me. Don't you remember chapter 8? Well, let's go back there. It's excellent. Chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who, what? Justifies. That word justified, and we taught this very clearly, means declared righteous. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It is God who justifies or declares you righteous. That's why I can stand here and offer the righteousness which is required for communion with God. I can offer that to you because it has nothing to do with you. You need not work to get it. You need not, I need to clarify that in a few minutes. But you don't work to get this righteousness. You can't work to get this righteousness. That's exactly what the Jews were doing wrong. They were seeking their own righteousness. How? By keeping God's law. You mean by keeping God's law you don't get righteous? Got it! You got it right there. You keep God's law perfectly, you're still unrighteous. Because God's law, the end of the law, and why he was, what that means is he is the end of the law for all those who believe in him, is because the law pointed to him. The law condemned that you might look out to Christ to be saved. For the righteousness that you needed, you would look at the Ten Commandments and you would conclude, I cannot meet those standards. Number one, everybody says, well, I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen anything. Well, first off, you lied about some of that. Most of you have stolen something as a child, or something like that. And generally, we are ready to lie about that. But I have said, and I will say it repeatedly again, I can't get past number one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. I fail that every day, don't you? Well, if number one is bad, can you move on to two? Why worry about the others? Because the book of Hebrews says that he who is guilty of one violation of the law is guilty of how many? All of it. Why? Because it was God who gave the law. And it is offense against God. No, the law was not meant to save you. The law was never meant to save you. And yet, almost all of Christendom, I use the word negatively, Christendom, that sort of Christian community that is all over the whole world, still believes, basically, that if you're good enough, God will take you to heaven. It is wrong. Of course it's wrong. And it's wrong not because we say so, but because Paul says so by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. That the righteousness that you need comes one way and one way only. It is the righteousness that belongs to Jesus Christ, and it comes by faith in Him. And He is the end of the law. The law was meant to point us to Christ. The law was meant to condemn. And anyone who hangs up on the law, who legalistically believes that keeping the law is going to make you right before God, is a fool. In the perfect biblical sense of foolish. No, it comes by faith in Christ. Christ is the end, the telos of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. There's two things I want to focus on right there. One, Christ's connection to the law, and then secondly, our connection to Christ. Christ's connection to the law. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed, cursed, cursed is everyone who doesn't do the law perfectly. Did everybody get the message? If you have never kept the law perfectly, you are cursed. You are victims of the curse. Now, Christ is the end of the law for all those that have faith in Him. Christ is the end of the curse for all who believe in Him. Now, Christ is related to the law in several ways. One, He kept the law perfectly. God's law is perfect and holy, is it not? Would anyone dare say that the Ten Commandments and all the rules that Moses gave were immoral or wrong? Hardly. Christ kept them all. Not only externally, but internally. That's amazing. But that's the Scripture's teaching on righteousness. Christ was related to the law, that is, He was sent into the world, and He kept that law perfectly. It was not that He went around, did an end run around the law. He kept it perfectly. For you, for you, for you. Adam had messed it up long ago. Adam had violated the law, and thus after him, in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. Hallelujah. Now, that's what this is all about. And this transaction comes by faith. Christ was related to the law. Nothing wrong with the law. It's just that you couldn't keep it. And there's no righteousness that comes from the law. None. It was meant to point you to righteousness through Christ. And that's why it wasn't just the Ten Commandments, but God instituted all of those offerings, all of those things that proved and showed that every Israelite was in need of cleansing. Amen? And you are too. Everyone was a sinner. And unless you made your proper offerings, unless there was a cleansing, unless there was a sacrifice, unless there was, dare I say it, blood, you would be unrighteous. Now we're beginning to see type, anti-type. There was nothing magic about the blood of a goat or a lamb. Nothing magic about it. Except it was a type of the anti-type. And the anti-type was Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It is Christ that the law pointed to. It was the Ten Commandments that condemned. It was the Mosaic cultic law and practices that pointed out the details of that, which we will be studying later on type, anti-type in the afternoon, that pointed everybody to Jesus Christ. And so that you've got 10,000 things that are pointing toward, just read them in the Old Testament, read the book of Leviticus, and yet we believe that everything in there points toward one goal, Jesus Christ. And all of those things are gathering together and being converging at one point, one man, one person, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. All of that was for this. And we receive righteousness by faith alone. I don't know about y'all, but this is good news for me. Now, my problem is that I'm not only forgiven my sins here, but I've got a problem. When you talk about relation to the law, Christ's relation to the law, he was the end of the law for those who believe. I've got a problem with the law, even though Christ forgave me my sins, let's say, when I had faith in Jesus Christ. I got a problem. Because I'd already sinned before that. Now, I got my sins forgiven, but guess what? I'm under the curse. I'd already sinned, so therefore, be sure that your sin shall find you out, and that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. I'm yet under a curse. I might have had my sins forgiven, but there's another element to the atonement, and that is the removing of the curse. In other words, Christ is not only the end of the law for the forgiveness of sins, but for the penalty of sin, for the penalty, death. It ain't over till it's over. We receive forgiveness of sins by faith in Christ. But he went further and went up that hill that day and died on a cross to remove the curse and to take the penalty that belonged to you. So forgiveness of sin is one thing about the atoning work of Christ, but the removal of the curse is the other end of that. It is comprehensive. It is total. His sacrifice gives us the right and the authority, is how it is said in Scripture, to enter into the very presence of a holy God. And we ride in there, clothed upon by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You want some symbolism? White robes in the book of Revelation. And it says, and white robes were given to them. And they were told, just take your time, just relax and wait, and everything. White robes. What? Are they some sort of religious nuts? No, that's symbolism for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. White robes. And if you remember, there's a couple of places in the Scriptures where, like for instance, the prodigal son, when he returned and everything. If you will recall, I remind you of this, there is no way said in the parable that the owner said, gee, number one son, that's just returning from a profligate life and everything, you go take a bath first because I'm not going to put no robes on you until you get yourself cleaned up. He didn't say that, did he? He said, bring the robes and put them on this boy, for he was dead and is now alive. That's what it's all about. You still are a sinner, but you've been covered over because Christ is covered over with the robe of righteousness, because Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. Wow. There it is. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about righteousness and how you get the righteousness. We could say much about this. I've decided not to spend too much more time on this particular verse. I want to. I want to spend the rest of the year till January the 1st on verse 4. But I'm not going to. I'm going to move on. The Christ is the end of the law. Because that is really the issue of the new covenant versus covenant theology and all that kind of stuff. It's really right there in chapter or verse 4 of chapter 10 in the book of Romans. But if a person had a proper understanding, he would understand that it is not that the law, no one is throwing the law out. No one is saying that the law was not perfect and holy and good. What we're saying is that Christ has fulfilled the law. He is the end of the law. He is the conclusion of the law. He is what the law pointed toward. And when He comes, you do not resurrect the old, the type, when the antitype has fulfilled it. It's foolish to do that. And that's what it's all about. Christ is the greater Moses. Christ is the sacrifice, the last sacrifice. We don't bring them back, as the dispensationalists say, that in the time of the millennium, that they're going to restore the animal sacrifices. How awful offensive that is when Christ has died. My. No. Righteousness, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all those who believe. And therefore, we turn our attention to this message about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving righteousness that belongs to Jesus Christ so that we're prepared to enter into the very presence of God. Even a small child can understand this, given in the right way. Even, it's so simple. And not only that, there's no longer any distinctions. There's no longer Jew or Gentile. There's no longer male or female. There's no longer black or white. There's no longer those distinctions. This message is for everybody. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe in Him. And the question is, when we leave you with this, do you believe in Him? Do you believe in Him? Have you submitted to His righteousness? If you have, you're a Christian. If you haven't, you're still outside. May God convict you today if you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Father, it is with joy that we proclaim this message of righteousness, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to be ever faithful to preach this simple, straightforward gospel message to every creature. For we need not have fancy words. We need not have degrees behind our name. We must only be believers and to understand that Christ is the end of the law for all who believe. And Father, we look to Him today, knowing that Your law was perfect and holy and good, and that Your Son, Jesus Christ, has perfectly fulfilled it as a substitute for us. Lord, we do not deserve Your favor. We do not deserve the righteousness which belongs to another, to Jesus, Your wonderful Son. But because of Your plan and because of the way You structured it, that is the way that we receive the righteousness that allows us to enter into Your presence. And we are thankful for it today. Lord, we believe that this message puts us in the right place. And it humbles us as human beings, knowing that it is not our righteousness that has brought us into communion with You, but the righteousness that is alien, that belongs to another, has been imputed to our account. Lord, we will forever prize that imputed righteousness. For it belongs to Him who saved us, Jesus Christ, our mighty Lord. It's in His precious name that we pray. Amen.